Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone, and happy day before Thanksgiving. Maybe you're already on the road, as we keep hearing holiday travel is expected to be back at pre-pandemic levels this year. It's our second pandemic Thanksgiving, but our first vax-era Thanksgiving, right? And everyone is making whatever judgments we're making about togetherness versus risk. So happy day before Thanksgiving. Little good economic news on this Thanksgiving Eve. The weekly new jobless claims number came out this morning, and I read it was the lowest single-week number in 50 years. So despite the new rise in COVID cases this month, it doesn't seem to be shutting down the economy very much. That's different from parts of Europe right now. Austria, have you heard this, with its surge being worse than our surge right now, has ordered a lockdown and a national vaccine mandate, not just certain workers, everyone, except the medically or religiously exempt. And they are expecting economic losses as well as public health gains from the lockdown. But another thing in this country that is affecting most people is the recent rise in gasoline prices as the holiday has approached. And yesterday, President Biden announced a release of oil from what's called the National Petroleum Reserve. And he acknowledged the tension that I'm sure many of you are thinking about right away between his recent climate promises about getting off of fossil fuels and flooding the market with them now to ease the short-term pain.
It will take time, but before long, you should see the price of gas drop where you fill up your tank. And in the longer term, we will reduce our reliance on oil as we shift to clean energy.
So, President Biden yesterday. Now, before we bring on our first guest to talk seriously about all this, two bits of satire. This first one was sent to me by a friend. I'm not sure of the original source, but if anyone else has seen this going around, you can let us know. It says, having observed the activities at COP26, I have set an ambitious target to phase out my alcohol consumption within the next 29 years as part of an impressive plan to improve my health. The program will see me continue to drink as normal for the foreseeable future before reducing consumption in 2051 when I turn 92. I want to assure friends and family it will not affect my drinking plans in the short or medium term. It is important not to rush the switch to non-alcoholic beverages. It is not realistic to transition to zero alcohol overnight. This requires a steady, phased approach where nothing changes for at least two decades. Indeed, I may need to make alcohol investments in beer consumption, more investments in the short term, to make sure no night is worse off. I also intend to bring forward the drinking credits earned from the days I haven't drunk over the past 40 years, meaning the final end date for consumption may actually be 2060. So, whoever wrote that, I thought it was hilarious and very on point, so I thought I would share it with you. And then there was Stephen Colbert last night helping to explain the idea of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve.
For those who don't know, the Strategic Reserve is a series of caverns filled with fossil fuel and strategically located inside Rudy Giuliani's head.
Thank you, Stephen Colbert. I think you nailed it. With us now, Timothy Gardner, energy and climate reporter for Reuters. Timothy, thanks for some time today. Welcome to WNYC. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Great to be here.
Did Colbert get that right? Is the Strategic Petroleum Reserve located in Rudy Giuliani's brain?
It's a little further away than that. It's basically a series of caverns. That's right. Along the Texas and Louisiana coasts. And it's heavily guarded by patrols and fenced in. I actually went there in 2016. And to give you an idea of how remote it is, one of the security guards told me that that despite the fences, they actually have problems from time to time with alligators getting in. And that's because the marine birds will take the baby alligators from the eggs and then drop them once they are squirming too much. So, yeah, it's a pretty remote location. You can't even see the oil there because it is in these salt caverns that they sort of carved out and filled with 600 million barrels of oil.
Why do we have these strategic reserves? Whoever came up with them was probably not thinking about a shortage caused by a pandemic.
No, indeed, they're decades old. The idea came about when Henry Kissinger was Secretary of State under Nixon, and it was in response to the Arab oil embargo of the early 70s, 73, 74, caused... was daily news on television, and consumers, drivers would line up at the gas stations, in some cases for miles. And, you know, the more people saw that on TV, the more they'd rush out and fill up their tank, even if they only needed a gas. So it caused a lot of panic. And, so Henry Kissinger's idea was to get together a group of oil-consuming nations, now called the International Energy Agency, and it's based in Paris, but also to create the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, to fill it up. So, you know, Congress mandated it, and it started filling up in 1977, and now has about 600 million barrels, which is... we in the U.S. use about 20 million barrels. So under the International Energy Agency, the U.S. is required to keep 90 days worth of imports in there. And
we've dipped into this reserve fund before. You talked about creation of it during the 1970s. We've dipped into this reserve fund before during this century, haven't we?
Yeah, usually it's used for in response to hurricanes that hit the Gulf Coast, and the reserve can be used either to loan oil. So, you know, the government, the Department of Energy, says to oil companies, "Hey, we're going to loan you this oil." They take it up. The companies take it up, and then they have to repay it back with interest at a later date. Or the president can declare that there's an emergency, which has happened in times of war, in the 90s in the Gulf War, and this century when there was civil war in Libya.
You reported that this release of oil is being done in conjunction with other countries, including China. Are other countries experiencing similar gasoline price increases to ours?
Well, yeah, that was an unprecedented move by President Biden yesterday to do this in conjunction with the world's other top oil consumers. So that's China and India and Japan and South Korea. And that's outside of the IEA that I mentioned, the Paris-based IEA. India and China are associate members of that group, but they're not full members. And so this is a new relationship of consuming nations, oil-consuming nations, sort of banding together to push back against Saudi Arabia and Russia holding back production. Both of those big producers could pump more oil, but they are only doing it slowly as the world recovers from the COVID-19 pandemic.
So, listeners, help us report this story. What are you paying for gasoline, a gallon of gasoline today, compared to a year or two ago? Give us your numbers. I saw one report of a $6 gallon of gasoline somewhere in the country, but that made news precisely because it's an outlier. What are you seeing around here in Pump Your Own Gas New York, or you're not allowed to pump your own gas New Jersey, or anywhere else? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Help us report this story. from your car or anywhere else, and you get a free shot at who you blame, if anyone, and what Biden should do about it, if anything, while trying to kick fossil fuels at the same time, at least in the long run. 212-433-9692. You can also ask any questions you have about the strategic petroleum. You have questions about the strategic petroleum reserve that the president announced he is tapping, or the pandemic oil market generally right now. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for Timothy Gardner, energy and environmental reporter for Reuters. You can also tweet your thoughts and your questions at Brian Lehrer. Tim, Fox Business has a headline today that reads, "Oil reserves released by Biden expected to go primarily to China and India." You just mentioned China and India as participating in a strategic reserves release. So fact check that for me. Is that real news or fake news? Or maybe it's fake innuendo, you know, like the tone of the headline suggests Biden is a traitor, favoring China and India over hardworking Americans paying too much for gas. So the implication, I would say, is disinformation. What about the statement of fact? Oil reserves released by Biden expected to go primarily to China and India.
Well, I haven't read that story, but the U.S. does export oil to both countries. But this is, we should be clear, oil prices are high. They hit the highest in 7 years, but they're about $80 a barrel right now for U.S. crude. And in 2008, they were up around $145. So the real issue here is not only oil prices are high, but inflation is high, and inflation is at 30-year highs on gasoline prices, but also on food prices, and also on the price of new cars, which we all know there's a chip shortage. So President Biden is trying to control prices from getting fuel prices from getting too high ahead of the 2022 midterm elections, especially as he has, razor thin majorities in both the House and the Senate.
And declining poll numbers. And it was interesting that you included those things in your articles the last few days. How much do you think then that the release of oil from the strategic petroleum reserves is motivated politically as opposed to by pure sort of logical economics?
It's a combination of both. Gasoline prices are something that consumers see every day as they drive along the highway. So, as consumers, as drivers drive around more, as you say, begin to think about vacations, everyone's emerging from the pandemic and possibly avoiding the bus and the subway. People want to see prices not to get too high. So the gasoline prices, the president has to do something or it just looks terrible. High inflation was not good for President Jimmy Carter. And certainly President Biden wants to avoid a situation where prices get out of hand.
Yeah. Well, but on the China and India angle, in the body of that article, it says the White House's Tuesday announcement means the U.S. will seek to accelerate sales abroad in an attempt to counter spiking prices at the gas pump. So is that part real, that somehow exporting some of our oil will help bring prices down here?
Well, oil prices, take place in a global market. So the price you see at the gasoline pump is related to global oil prices. And as, oil markets analysts say, oil markets are fungible. producers all over the world have different crimps in their supply, and so every country that exports has to supply the market. I think the more interesting question with China is, at what point is it going to coordinate in this release? Today there's been news from a state-run China media outlet that the editorial that says that China has the upper hand. Yes, this coordination is going to help, consumers around the world, including China. But China, but the United States is asking for China's help, and so far we haven't seen China release oil from its reserves. It did so a little bit in September, but they're silent on when exactly this announcement that Biden made yesterday, when China will participate in that.
Mm. But one other thought on this thread. Is the U.S. a net exporter of oil now? Like, for all we're knocking Saudi Arabia and Russia for not increasing production, do we not need their oil anymore anyway?
We export millions of barrels of oil, but we're not generally a net exporter. And the U.S., Saudi Arabia, and Russia are all competing to be the world's number one oil exporter at the moment. The U.S. Production is not controlled by the government, unlike in Saudi Arabia and Russia. So as the pandemic hurt the economy, the oil price dropped and U.S. oil producers stopped investing, or investors stopped investing in oil production. So the U.S. oil production is a little bit lower now, and it's going to take time to recover.
So with Timothy Gardner, Reuters energy and environment correspondent, let's hear some of those gasoline prices. Hassani in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Hassani.
Hi, good morning, Brian. I am a sustaining member. I want to say that first. And I was driving in my Prius from Boston to Martha's Vineyard and then coming home to Brooklyn. And in Boston, I paid $3.79 for gas. In the Vineyard, I paid $3.99 for gas. In Connecticut, I paid $3.35 for gas. And that was for my hybrid.
And how does that compare? A year ago, if we're looking 1 year ago, prices were really unusually depressed then because people weren't driving, so the price went down. How about from before the pandemic? Do you have enough memory of gasoline prices?
It was about $1. Yeah, it was about $1 cheaper. It was great. And I wasn't driving that much, so it really didn't have the same type of impact, but I really feel it now. It used to be that I would pay $20-something to fill up my Prius, and now I'm paying like $37 to get my Prius.
So if you have a Prius, then you're probably an environment-conscious person, right?
Yes, because I also have a fully electric car, too.
And do you have any mixed feelings as you're personally feeling the pain of higher gasoline prices, but would probably like to see the U.S. kick its dependence on fossil fuels? Do you experience any sort of internal conflict over Biden releasing these petroleum reserves to make it easier?
Yes, because I'm also a kid of the 70s, so I remember my family in California having to go to the gas station with lines that are like a mile around. You can only go based on the number that was on your license plate. Uh-huh. And so I understand the reserves, but I feel like this is like a temporary situation, and we've seen fluctuations in the past. And so using the reserves in this way gives me great pause. I'm just not exactly sure that if we have like a big crisis, if we have a big hurricane or something else, how are we going to respond to that? And so, yeah, I have great reservations about how we're utilizing this. I mean, I don't think it's ever been done before because of prices. But then again, there must be something else going on because he's doing it in conjunction with other countries. And so maybe this is a thing to apply some pressure to OPEC to say that, you can try to raise these prices, but we're going to push back. So I'm not exactly sure what the motivation is, and that hasn't been explained to us, but I think that would be that would be helpful information for me. Otherwise, it just seems kind of political more so than anything.
Well, let's see if we can get that information. And Hassani, thank you for your call. So before we go on to some of the other callers, because it's interesting, some of the range of gasoline prices we're getting on the phone. But Tim, you heard Hassani's question there, right? Is this being done to some degree to place pressure on the OPEC countries to produce more?
Absolutely. That is part of it. I mean, at the beginning of the pandemic, oil demand just tanked. It was very low because nobody was driving anywhere. So Saudi Arabia and Russia, so this is not just OPEC. This is a group now called OPEC Plus, which includes Russia. They decided to go into a price war and flood the markets with oil. So some listeners might remember that in April of 2020, the price briefly went to negative $50 for a barrel of oil. So President Trump at the time, he decided to stop this, and basically told Saudi Arabia that he can't stop a group of Republican senators from passing a law that would basically remove U.S. troops from Saudi Arabia. And so at the beginning of the pandemic, extremely low prices. Now that the economy is recovering, the prices have jumped super fast. Gasoline prices highest in 7 years. So, yes, it's a combination of Biden not wanting to get this out of hand politically, but also he wants to make it look like he is taking action on Saudi Arabia and Russia, which have not been cooperating.
Joyce in Northport on the island. You're on WNYC. Hi, Joyce.
Oh, hi. I'm a long time, second time. I am paying $3.49. And here in Huntington Township, full serve is required. We can't pump our own gas.
Uh-huh.
Does not make me sad that I can't pump my own gas.
You don't want to be out there with the fumes.
Well, yeah. And when I go to Florida, which maybe I'm going to do this winter, I have to pump my own. So I have to not forget, you know, how. But and Jersey Turnpike, I was filling up before I reach the end of the turnpike because, you know, full
cheaper
serve.
There.
It is some places, if you charge it, you have to pay more. Some places it's either full serve or, I mean, either charge or cash is $3.49. And by the way, I buy it at a, I guess it's called a no brand gas station.
Uh-huh.
But I've never had any problem, you know, with my car, with the gas. And there are a few other stations around that are that same price. Most are a little bit more.
Joyce, thank you very much. Listener tweets, it's around $3.29 to $3.49 in Jersey City right now, which is why I was shocked to see $4.99 coming back from the Guggenheim last weekend at a station on 11th near the Lincoln Tunnel. So I don't know. Maybe that's not surprising. I think they always get you at those stations if you wait. Wait until you right before you have to go through the tunnel, and you haven't filled up yet. But here's Patrick. Oh, Patrick in Croton hung up. No, he's back. Let me go right to Patrick, who is in California. Patrick, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. No, I'm just back from California, where it makes you pine for the deep environs of New York. Here, I live in a village up the river, as they used to say, from the city. And typically, you see $4.59, $4.69 in Beverly Hills, which is where I was. And some places are above $5, particularly if you're around Rodeo Drive. So I guess that's gas stations to the stars. But in Croton this morning, I filled up for $3.49 for regular.
Right. Thank you. So we're hearing, Timothy, a lot of three-something in the metro area. $4.99 at the entrance to the Lincoln Tunnel, if that was accurate. But you heard Patrick's story from California, and he was talking about Rodeo Drive, you know, the gasoline stations of the stars. but that $6 a gallon gasoline was out in Eastern California. That was from Mono County near Yosemite. So what goes on to make gasoline prices that disparate between one coast and another?
A couple of reasons. So state taxes. Each state has the ability to add whatever kind of taxes it wants to on top of the price of gasoline. And California has always had higher taxes on gasoline, in part due to the interest in alternatives, in electric vehicles or whatever. And that's led to acceptance for higher taxes in that state. But also, the California market is separate, basically operates as a separate market from the rest of the country, because you have their oil is basically coming from abroad and from Alaska, as the pipelines that are, you know, in the Texas and Louisiana and East Coast, they don't make it all the way out to California. So that operates as a separate market, and it's a little bit of a different beast, and it'll take longer for this action by President Biden to have an effect there.
I'm seeing Linda in East Windsor. 329 is a steal here, says Linda in that part of New Jersey. These prices that we're hearing, they don't seem outrageously high. I mean, historically, right? There have been plenty of years in the 21st century where people in New York and New Jersey are paying in the mid $3 for a gallon of gasoline. So what's the crisis here? I know things were artificially low last year when, as you were describing, because some, you know, the economies were locked down in so many places, people weren't driving like they did in the past. So production was cut and prices came down because there wasn't demand. If it's only back up to like $3.50 a gallon, wasn't it that for many years in the 21st century? And if that's right, what's the big crisis here for releasing oil from the petroleum reserve?
That's absolutely right. As I said earlier, in 2008, oil prices were $47 a barrel, and gasoline prices were way above what we're paying now. With the high prices, you also have this huge jump in inflation. That's 30%. Food prices have gone up. That's also related to higher prices of fuels, but also because of difficulty getting workers and all the supply bottlenecks. So I think the last thing a president wants is high motor fuel prices on top of high inflation. And it's just numbers that people are seeing all the time. And when people go out to restaurants these days, the prices are much higher, and they don't want to see the prices of gasoline go higher.
But it's not like bringing down the price of gasoline, if it even comes down, from releasing oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve is going to make the prices go down at the restaurant or at the grocery store. Is it? Maybe for people who are food insecure, we should have a strategic food reserve instead.
That'd be a great idea. And I think there are some efforts along that way, but certainly not like a national strategic petroleum reserve that you can announce with and get headlines and extreme interest in.
But is the anticipation for you as an economics, well, you're an environment and energy reporter, but to the extent that overlaps with being an economic reporter, do you have any reason to expect that the price of food at the grocery store increasing as part of inflation right now will come down or not go up as fast because of this release of oil?
So the oil price has fallen a little bit, well, not a little bit, about 10% since late October. And when news of this release, and especially the coordinated release with other consumers around the world, it's fallen from 85 to about 80 in terms of the price of crude oil. So in a sense, it already has had an effect. And analysts were beginning to talk about without action, you could have seen oil going up to $100 a barrel. So I think you're right that there might be muted effect on this action taking prices down a lot, but there was also to go up by quite a bit, which I was speaking to oil historian Daniel Yergin yesterday, and he believed that you're not going to see so many forecasts for $100 barrel of oil in the near term anyway.
Liz in Maplewood, you're on WNYC. Hi, Liz.
Hi. I just been listening to all this and also listening to people I know griping about the gas prices that you just pointed out are not actually that high. And I, you know, these are like some same folks whose equity in their homes has risen so much in the past year or two, whose, you know, portfolios are looking better than ever. And I just think there's a lack of context and like perspective, especially for people, middle class people, upper middle class people. You know, for people on the margins, obviously food prices and gas prices are extremely, you know, that's right in front of them. But I think for a lot of people, it's just like something to complain about, and it's not actually affecting their vacation plans or their, you know, anything else that they might be doing with respect to the gas prices.
And you said to our screener something about housing prices?
Well, I think people, if you own a home, basically anywhere, your home value has increased so much and you're sitting on equity, you're sitting on money that you can borrow against. And, you know, like the context of the gas prices compared with all these other things, it's sort of like, okay, $3.50 a gallon. Like, I don't know. It doesn't seem something insurmountable for a good number of people.
We need a strategic housing reserve, maybe more than a strategic oil reserve. Timothy, some environmentalists are suggesting that this oil price spike, instead of being relieved as quickly as Biden can, could be used as a disincentive to use fossil fuels and accelerate the transition to non-climate polluting sources that Biden has promised in the longer run. Is that a real option?
Biden certainly is walking a balancing wire on this. He and his energy secretary have emphasized that they're trying to do this move for the middle class consumer, the middle class drivers who may not own a home. They may, you know, they may be renters, so they may not have experienced this huge bump in home prices as they're trying to recover from the pandemic. You know, maybe people in their household are not able to go back to work yet. This is done for that, this move. So, but the Biden administration also definitely wants to get electric vehicles moving. There's a lot in the legislation, the Democrat bill that they want to pass, reconciliation bill that they want to be the next bill to pass after the bipartisan infrastructure bill is passed. So there's a lot of incentives for electric vehicles in there that they want to move forward.
Listener tweets, we're paying $2.80 in Memphis, Tennessee. Another caller tells our screener, $2.98 in Mississippi, $3.28 at Costco in Oceanside on Long Island. So that's kind of the range, I guess, right? From 280 in Memphis, assuming these are being accurately reported, from around 280 in Memphis to around $6 a gallon near Yosemite?
Yes, I believe that's true. I haven't seen the low price, but definitely the $6 in California at a couple stations. And I would agree with Joyce, just in terms of if you buy gasoline at a no-frills brand, it's not like they are putting an additive in it.
But it's also not any cheaper, right? I mean, if you buy a store brand of something instead of the name brand of a lot of products, you're going to get it cheaper. You know, you buy the, I don't know, the CVS Band-Aids instead of the Band-Aid Band-Aids, and they're going to be cheaper. But it's not true with the so-called off-brand gasoline stations?
I'm not sure what you're saying there, but you know, a lot of the off-brand stations sell gasoline for lower than branded stations. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And the red state versus blue state difference, is it because Tennessee and Mississippi are nearer to Texas and Louisiana, where so much oil gets produced, or does it depend on something else?
That's part of it, but every state has a different outlook on the taxes that they add to a gallon of gasoline.
Also, taxes.
California adds a lot to its gasoline, makes it go up. Other states have barely any taxes in addition to the federal tax that must be on there.
So, bottom line on the politics, Biden could make a short-term politically unpopular choice, and maybe it wouldn't be politically unpopular, but let's assume it's politically unpopular choice to allow people to feel this gasoline price pain for longer in pursuit of using it to increase the incentive for more people to buy electric vehicles and things like that.
He's got some tough choices. He said that this move is for middle class, for the middle class. He doesn't want to see the price get too high. It's also politically very unpopular to have the price go up and have everyone blaming you for that when you're trying to head into the midterm elections next year. And you've got the slimmest available majority in the Senate, not much better one in the House of Representatives. There he will get a lot of pressure on from the environmentalists, and I think you're going to be hearing a lot more on incentives, not only in the legislation that the infrastructure bill that passed, but other actions that the administration is going to be taking. The Department of Energy, for instance, is going to be adding 1,000 new people to take on mostly clean energy programs because of the infrastructure bill. So and those people have to be hired fairly quickly.
Listener tweets, bought a Tesla last year and no longer worry about gas. Another listener tweets, the electric vehicle incentives in the Build Back Better bill leave e-bikes behind. There's no reason I should be able to get $12,500 off a car, but I am capped at a $1,500 subsidy when buying an electric cargo bike that would remove me from a car permanently. So obviously the conversation goes on about our energy present and our energy future. We thank Timothy Gardner, energy and environment reporter for Reuters. Tim, thanks so much.
Thanks, Brian.